2 Timothy chapter number 4. We'll have our message and then we'll pray a little bit and go home, have some fellowship here. And I want you to notice 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 through 8. The Apostle Paul is writing, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." I've been bringing a series of messages entitled Making Sense Out of Sickness, and how to overcome sickness, how to overcome weakness, or how to work on with sickness, or work on with weakness. Every one of us in the human race has physical problems, some very small, some are large, and we've got to function in what Paul called these vile bodies. We've got to function in these vile bodies. And so I've been trying to give you some principles that I've tried to incorporate into my life based on scriptures that have helped me functioning in this vile body. I don't pretend to be the healthiest person that ever lived or the most energetic. I've struggled in the areas of energy. Just never had a lot of it. But I'm not going to let that stop me from serving the Lord or from attending church or doing the right things. And so I decided back at the beginning of the year I would share with you some things that I've tried to adapt, some principles that help me make sense out of sickness, help me to overcome weakness, and help me to be able to work on and accomplish some things. We're up to point number 6 tonight. The first 5 points were these. Number 1, focus on production for God. Number 1, focus on production for God. We already talked about that. Just determine in your heart that God saved you for a reason, and that is to produce fruit for Him to some extent. And we've already covered this. The Bible says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your strength." That's part of the great commandment. And so let us find out what ways we can have as much strength as possible so we can produce, so we can do something for our God before we die. And so that's the first principle that helps me to keep going, is I want to produce, I want to do something for God in my life who did everything for me. Then number 2, stop sinning. We correlated with many Bible verses in that study the relationship between sin and sickness. Sin and sickness, it's taught throughout the Bible that sin and sickness go together. Now, I'm not saying tonight if you're sick or if you have physical infirmities, it's because God's judging you because of some sin in your life. No, in that study, I talked about unconfessed sin, unrepentant from sin, where the Lord uses sickness as a form of chastisement upon the person who will not judge themselves. And the Bible says He chastens us with sickness, weakness, or sleep, which is death. God uses that on His children. He makes them sick or weak or prematurely dies if they will not judge themselves and repent of their sins. But He also promises if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Paraphrase, if we should judge ourselves, we're going to miss out on a lot of sickness, weakness, and a premature death. So we need to stop sinning, and I know none of us have, but I mean habitually, and we need to give up things, sacrifice things for the Lord, ask for the power of the Holy Ghost, that He'll lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then number 4, pray for protection. Or 3. Number 3, pray for protection. We need to pray about everything. And I know it might sound strange, but I believe it works. And I believe years of experience have taught me that you can pray for protection from flus and colds and viruses and germs and bacteria and infections and diseases and fevers. And that you can pray a hedge of protection around you from these things. Job was protected from sickness as long as the hedge of God's protection was about him. when the hedge was taken away, then Satan was able to touch his body with physical infirmities. We need to pray God will put a hedge of protection around us and around our children and around each other. And then, when we do get sick, we're told specifically in James 5:13, pray. Don't run to the medicine cabinet. Don't run to the doctor. But run to God and ask Him for healing. For He is Jehovah Rapha, the great physician, the Lord that heals us. We ought to pray for healing. And then number four was fasting. Isaiah 58 and verse 5 says that if we will fast, then shall our health spring forth speedily. That's a promise from a God that cannot lie. I know fasting's no fun. I don't know anybody who says, man, I really like this fasting stuff. I don't know. It's just unnatural not to eat. But it'll help you. Two days a week I go without food, and I drink nothing but water, and it cleanses the stomach and the intestines, the large intestine, the small intestine. And yeah, you get yourself a little bit of a headache, and you get yourself, your tongue gets thick and dry, and so on and so forth. And I understand that, but I believe that it has helped me gain some more health and some more energy that I so often am looking for. And I'm not going to suggest that to you. I've been doing it for 20, 24, I think I started fasting 24, 25 years ago, at least once a week. But I want to encourage you maybe to start with a meal and just give your stomach a rest once in a while. And it's strange. It almost seems backwards to our thinking, but if you give your muscles a rest, as a result, you'll get strength. When you eat a lot, this is almost common in every person, when you eat a lot, just think of Thanksgiving Day. Now, what do you want to do after you eat? You just want to go to sleep. All right, why? Because all the blood from all of your body begins to rush to your stomach to aid in the digestive process. Your body has to use a lot of energy digesting food. Now, if there's times where you give it a rest, that energy can be preserved and be used elsewhere. And God promises to the person who fasts with the right spirit, then shall thy health spring forth speedily, and it'll bring health to your body. So, fasting, number four, right? And then slay the giant of depression. I talked about that one. That was number five. Depression leads to sickness. And we showed you Bible verses on that. And we told you out of Isaiah and chapter 61 and verses 1 through 3 that God has given us a tool that we can slay depression with. He says it's the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness is the biblical synonym for today's word depression. And if you will wrap yourself up in praising God, there is amazing power in praise. And if you'll just praise God and begin to remember before God and thank Him continually, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to God, that's what praise is according to Hebrews. And as you just thank the Lord for all of your physical blessings, all of your material blessings, all of your spiritual blessings, and all the miracles God's done for you, all the prayers God's answered for you, and if you'll just start praising God, believe me, depression will flee from your mind. And you won't have depression. You won't have heaviness. And heaviness affects people physically. You've never seen a depressed person out there going, let's do it. No, they want to hide from anything. Depression will not only slow your life down, it'll bring it to a screeching halt. You won't want to do a thing if you're depressed. And so we got to overcome depression. Now I want to give you about three more tonight, and I'm going to try to talk kind of quickly here and wrap this up. But here's something else that I think will help you in living with sickness and weakness and overcoming it or battling through it, either or. And that is number six, show character. Show character. Notice the words of Paul that we read here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Think about this statement. He's Paul the aged right now, according to the book of Philemon. He's an old man now. And he's writing the final chapter in his life, and he says these words. This is his testimony. Verse 6, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to die soon. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now let me ask you something. Did Paul live with sickness or not? When did that come upon him? Probably on the road to Damascus, or sometime soon thereafter. The Bible says he was knocked to the ground by a bright light before he ever got saved, and that affected his eyes. He was blind for 3 days. Ananias had to pray over him just to recover his sight. And then very early in his ministry, he had an experience where he was caught up into the third heavens and he saw things that nobody else ever saw. And because of that exalted trip that God allowed him, just that unique privilege God allowed him, the Bible says there was given unto him a messenger of Satan, an infirmity in his flesh that would buffet him all the days of his life. And yet at the end of his life, he said, I finished my course. So here was a man who had to learn how to function with an infirmity in the flesh. Here was a man who didn't miss church because he got a little headache. He had a little toothache or a little earache or a little sore throat or a little upset stomach. Those things didn't stop Paul. He showed character. He had to have character. And this was something that God taught me, is that we've got to have some character if we're gonna run the race that God has for us, if we're going to finish the course, if we're going to fight the good fight. Paul prayed like we're supposed to do 3 times that God would heal him of that thorn in the flesh. You can read that about in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You can read that story. And God finally said, no, Paul, I don't want you to pray about this anymore. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And Paul then went on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. For when I am weak, he is strong. So I want you to understand that his entire ministry, that he found a way to function while weak and infirm. And that helped me. And we need to get to the place where we will say, and I know I'm probably preaching to the choir here for your Sunday night attenders, but we got to get to that place where we're not going to let a little sore throat or a little sniffle or a little headache or a sore joint or a little upset stomach or a little cold or a mild toothache stop us. We've got to get to that place. There's some people who are stopped by those things. They're not stopped from going to work on Monday by those things. They're not stopped from going to work on Tuesday by those things, or by going to school, or by going to college. But all of a sudden it comes to fellowship or church or ministry or service. Now, what is it then that influences them to function like that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday? Money. Money. Brethren, something God showed me once that helped me was that God is going to pay us someday for everything we do for Him. There's going to be a payday someday. And what the Lord is going to give us compared to what our place of employment gave us, there is no comparison. There's no comparison. I am going to be paid for everything I do. My God has said so. If you give just a cup of cold water to somebody just in the name of a disciple, Jesus said, you'll not lose your reward. There's going to be rewards in heaven and riches in heaven. And the Lord's going to say someday, take from those that have not, those who didn't want to do a thing with what I gave them to do, take what's theirs and give it to him that already has. In heaven, let's make the rich richer. And those that didn't think I was worth serving, take away whatever they think they even have. Give it to those that did serve me. There's going to be different mansions in heaven, different crowns in heaven. No employer has ever on this earth paid anybody for their work compared to the way God will pay somebody for their work. No way. And yet there are so many who let these things stop them. Wednesday night, I'm tired. I just got home from work. Sunday night, so on and so forth. Special meetings. Too many people in this world. They do not let these little things stop them. Now, I'm not talking about full-blown pneumonia or bronchitis or something like that. I understand that. But I have seen people who, and I mentioned this in the first sermon, who dying of cancer had people carry them into church because they wanted to be in the house of God. People will not let these things stop them for an education, for an award, for a win, for a championship, or for money. And yet all these motivations are far inferior than doing it for Jesus. Far inferior. One of the things that motivates me is we have too many hardworking men who attend here and some women who have to work for me to be lazy. Some of you guys, you work so hard, and I notice that, and I want you to be able to come to a church where the pastor has done something in the course of the week. And I hope everybody that works for this church will feel the same way. We are being paid by your hard-earned money, and I want to try to accomplish something during the course of the week, and I think everybody that works for the church tries to accomplish things. There's just too much hard-earned money that comes into this church for me to sit around and be lazy and do nothing. So I write out a schedule. Almost every Monday of my life, I write out a schedule of things that I can think of that I have to do. And to this day, I have never finished one of those schedules. In a week's time, I've never finished a schedule of all the things that I have to do that week, or need to do, people I need to see, people I need to call, people I need to write to. Sunday school lesson, Sunday morning sermon, men's meeting lesson, Sunday night message, Wednesday night if I'm going into prison, or wherever I might be going, so on and so forth. If there's things that I need to write, I want to do a lot of writing so I can leave something after I die that maybe will help influence people, and so on and so forth. We need to show some character. We need to show some character. And I believe Paul showed character. He was a sick man who just would not be stopped. And he got a few things done in his life, didn't he? I thank God for these testimonies. Number 7, balance the doctrine of sleep. Turn to Psalm 4 and verse number 8. Balance the doctrine of sleep. The Bible talks about sleep. The Bible instructs us about sleep. The Bible says in Psalm 4 and verse number 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Now, I want to just teach you for a few minutes here about sleep, and we might end with this, but the Bible says a lot about sleep. We're going to read some verses where it says that God wants to give us a sleep that is sweet. Now, I know there's the other side. I'm going to try to balance the doctrine of sleep. There's other times where God wakes you up because he wants you to pray. All right? He wants you to pray. But God wants his people to sleep, and so he has given us a tool. We just sang about it earlier. It's called Wonderful Peace. Wonderful peace. God wants us to be a people of peace. Now, how do you have peace? You pray about everything. You pray about everything. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We ought to be able to sleep because we are a people of peace. We are a people of peace. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. See, the Lord can give us peace, and the Lord can help us sleep. I've seen people helped. They say, I can't sleep. I have sleep problems. I simply ask them this question, have you ever prayed about it? Well, no. Well, let's pray about it. And I've seen God fix that for people. Sometimes we have not because we just simply have never asked for it. We have not because we ask not, it says in James 4 and verse number 2. The body often heals itself while in a deep sleep. That's a scientific fact. Sleep is your friend. You ought to embrace sleep. Pray about this part of your life. You spend over one-third of your life doing it. We ought to pray about this part of our lives. Say, Lord, help me to sleep well tonight. I can't tell, I could probably give this testimony thousands of times, I don't know, maybe hundreds of times. I can't tell you how many times I've said, Lord, I need a 20-minute nap. And I'll look at the little digital clock on my bed. And bang, 20 minutes later. Thank you, Lord. And then I'm good for another 3 or 4 hours. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've prayed that prayer. Lord, I got to go to the prison tonight. I pray you'd give me a 20-minute nap or 30-minute nap. I need a little nap now, Lord, so my mind will be sharp so I can help the prisoners. And bang, off I go. And then 30 minutes later, bang, I'm wide awake. Takes me another 15 minutes to figure out what direction I'm facing. But then I can get down there and I have a sharp mind. I can't tell you how many, I don't know the number, but it's got to be hundreds of times where I've prayed that. Look at Psalm 127 and verse 2. Psalm 127 and verse number 2. Boy, if there's a verse America needs, it's right here. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. We're staying up too late these days. We're staying up too late on Saturdays and not sanctifying the Lord's Day. We're too tired in church to have the Holy Spirit speak to us. We're too tired going to work. We're too tired going to school. We're too tired going to college or whatever. Because we're staying up late. Why? Because of television. Because of video games. Because of internet sites. Because of chat rooms. And because of cable television. Direct TV and so on and so forth. And the next thing you know, it's 11 at night, it's 12 at night, it's 1 in the morning. We're still watching things. The Bible says that's vanity. Right here, verse 2. It is vain for you to rise up early to sit up late. In other words, it's vain for you not to get enough sleep. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. God gives us sleep. Recognize that sleep comes from God. Wrong choices will rob you of sleep. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21, it says, my son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then thou shalt walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. It's talking about walking in wisdom here. If you make wrong choices and have to live with those consequences of those wrong choices, for instance, financially, How many people stay awake worrying about finances all the time? And but the Bible's saying here in Proverbs 3 that if we'll walk in wisdom, if we'll walk in wisdom, so then God will give us sleep, and that sleep will be sweet. The man or the woman that makes right choices after right choice after right choice after right choice after right decision, and so on and so forth, and things work out in his life, and his marriage is good, and his family's good, and his finances are good, it says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. He's thought about the future. He's worked out things for his future and so on and so forth. Those things are good. What's going to happen for that man as a result of all those right choices? That woman, for all those right choices she's made, what's going to happen? They're going to have a lot less worries. They'll sleep a whole lot better. We need to walk in wisdom. We need to walk in wisdom. That will help you sleep. We need to work hard. We need to work hard. Hard work will help us sleep. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. If a man and a woman will work during the time that they are awake, God will help that person's sleep. So we ought to be laboring men and laboring women. We ought to find something to do to keep ourselves occupied. Do that all week. You can ask my wife. I take Mondays off, but ask her what I do on Mondays. I accomplish a lot of things that got to be done. I just like to get at it. And when you do a lot of work, boy, you hit the pillow, man. You just, you're gone. You're gone. Take care of your spiritual life. Have a walk with God. Don't just be saved, but know God. And in knowing God, your sleep will be sweet. Jeremiah 31 and verses 25 and 26 says, for I have satiated the weary soul. That word means satisfied. And I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet unto me. Notice, the person who finds satisfaction in Christ, it will minister to their weary soul. It will replenish their sorrowful soul. If you're sorrowful today, then I want to encourage you to go to God and know the Lord. Upon this I awaked and beheld, and my sleep was sweet. So there's certain things you can do, like prayer and working hard and making right choices and having a walk with God that will give you, as we saw in these verses, sweet sleep. The word sweet means pleasant. Pleasant sleep. But then, we're warned in the Bible, in Proverbs 20 and verse 13, love not sleep. Use it, but don't love it. Because we are warned also, in closing, of the effect sleep can have upon a sluggard. So there's got to be a balance. We got to look at friend as a lover. Sleep as a friend. And we've got to do the things, the conditional things that will promise us a sweet sleep. But then we just ought to sleep adequately and then get up and get at it. It's wrong. The other side of the doctrine of sleep is, which is wrong, we went over the right side, the wrong side is being a sluggard. God does not want us to be a sluggard. He doesn't want us to be slothful. If you don't know what those words mean, it means he doesn't want us to be lazy. God did not make us to be lazy people. And we ought to get up and get at it and find something to do for God. And if you don't know of anything else to do, then just get your Bible open, start reading it, or just spend some time in prayer. But it says in Proverbs 6 and verses 9 through 11, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands of sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. The Bible says there's two illustrations of what happens to somebody who loves sleep, somebody who's a sluggard, somebody who's lazy, somebody who can't hold down a job. It says two things. They're like a vagrant. That's one that traveleth. A vagrant. You know what a vagrant is? We used to call them hobos growing up. Vagabonds. They didn't work. And they just went around with nothing, and their condition deteriorated. It got worse and worse and worse. People have to help them, get them back on their feet. Try to get them, clean them up, and get them to work, so on and so forth. That's what that word right there means, one that traveleth. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth. You'll be like a vagrant. You'll be like a hobo. You'll be like a vagabond. And thy want is an armed man. That's talking about a criminal. Did you ever hear the old saying, crime never pays? Crime never pays. In most cases, you watch criminals, and they end up with nothing. I mean, I know criminals. I've met criminals who had jobs where they earned 2, 3, 4 times more money than I do. And right now they're in correctional facilities, and Don knows some of them cannot afford a postage stamp. They can't afford a postage stamp. But the Bible says the same effect upon the slothful, the lazy man who won't work, who won't hold down a job, who won't be disciplined, who won't get up and get the job not on time but before time and stay after time and ask the boss, is there anything else I can do before I go home? And he works hard. And yeah, he comes home tired and so on, but he comes home with a paycheck, and that gives him some satisfaction because he's accomplished something. Slothful and lazy men don't know that satisfaction. And they end up in poverty. So don't love sleep in the sense of becoming slothful and lazy. So I've given you a couple things tonight that can help us make sense out of sickness, help us to live in these vile bodies. We saw number one, have character. Have the character of the Apostle Paul, who although he had an infirmity all of his saved life, he was able to say, I finished my course. I worked on through sickness. It didn't stop me. I didn't use it as an excuse. And then number two, balance the doctrine of sleep. Do the conditional things that will give you good sleep. But don't ever love sleep to the point of becoming a sluggard because of the poverty that it'll bring to your life. All right, let's pray these into our lives. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for prayer.